Well, it has been just about a week, just under a week, since we heard the news, since the world broke out of their workday, took a look at their stream of messages from friends or people you haven't heard from in a long time. And we all heard on Tuesday last week, the 22nd, of the passing of Ozzy Osbourne, an icon in not just heavy metal music, but in pop culture, the likes of which we've never seen and may never see again. This show, obviously, being Dan time, is primarily me. As you know, I've probably said it way too many times for those active listeners, but it's usually me, and the person on the other end of the line is another Dan, or we're talking about some Dan theme. But you've noticed on occasion, I bring in extensions of either my family or something that I'm interested in, and it just felt right. I think we've all needed somebody to talk to or share memories or shoot a few text messages back and forth over the past week and process how we're feeling. And this is first and foremost on my mind, my brother and somebody that you just might remember from a few Dan Time episodes in the past. He's coming up on his third annual Halloween bonus episode, which, of course, he will be featured once again. It's a tradition now. Also a July 4th bonus episode, Rob's beach vacation theme, and who could forget a rundown of the top glam metal albums from 1989. My brother and a former musician himself, frontman for a death metal band Impalement, guitar player, and someone that I've jammed with over the years, my brother Rob McArdle. Rob, how are you doing today?
I am doing pretty good now that I'm off work. It was rough getting out of bed this morning, tired, but feeling good.
It's more of a challenge in the summertime, especially, seems to be.
Yeah, and you know, with what I do, driving the truck, yeah, the heat just really gets to you, and you're still trying to recover from the weekend. So Mondays are always tough, but Monday nights are usually pretty good, because you got the hard part past you.
Right. Well,
you just let the week go and get ready for the weekend.
Well, you've always been someone who, as my older brother, who I've looked up to, is someone who can roll through the punches and just deal and just process it and deal with it and do the best that you can. And,
right.
You know, this past week, I think we're so used to, Robert, wouldn't you agree that in the technology age, and if you have a bunch of alerts going off on your phone all the time, you get all of these updates. You know, someone died, you hear about the conflicts around the world, the famine in parts of the world. You hear about the political stuff. You hear about all the headlines, just sports and news. And it's just almost, I was talking to somebody today about the information overload, and you're desensitized to a lot of stuff. But how did you react when you saw Ozzy Osbourne dead at 76?
I was taken aback just in that split second, but then, you know, as the seconds and the minutes rolled on, it was like, you know what, that makes sense, you know, because I watched the show, or what I could see on YouTube. He sounded great, but he didn't look good. And, you know, I got the impression from watching it that his days are probably numbered, and it seems to be like he knew that, and I was going to do this show and go out on a high note, which he did. But still, you know, sometimes you think some people are going to live forever, and, of course, nobody does. So I just, you know, as the days went on, you know, I would check for updates, see other people's reactions to it, and then on the weekend, I had my own little Ozfest, and you know, hearing a few songs and stuff, I did get a little tears in the eyes. So it was it did hit me a little bit harder than I thought it would.
Oh, it's impossible not to. A lot of these songs in the catalog, I don't know if the same is true with you, but I haven't gone back and listened to Road to Nowhere, See You on the Other Side, of course, Mama, I'm Coming Home. In some cases, Robert, in maybe it's been 12 years, maybe it's been 16 years, maybe there was a one-off spin about 8 or 9 years ago or something like that, but some of these songs I really haven't listened to on an emotional level in possibly a couple decades or close to it. And you're right, when I've gone back and we hear about people in music passing away, and you usually start thinking about, if you knew their catalog, okay, well, what was the, you know, I know about 3 or 4 or maybe 10 songs that were right up there, and you go back to it, you play it, and you reconnect. And it was, like you said, for me, very powerful reconnecting with some of these songs that I had, quite frankly, put on the shelf. And it was almost comforting to hear on various platforms that, you know, metalheads saying, or even just non-metalheads, you know, rock fans, I shed some tears listening to these songs. I think part of that is, been listening to Ozzy all week, and you hear how masterful he was at conveying emotion in his with his vocals.
Absolutely. He, very unique sounding, you know, maybe not all of his songs, you know, had a strong message, but the ones that did, my God, as you said, you know, Ozzy's music always finds its way into my weekend playlist, but usually it's just a song or two and then you move on to something else. And, but then going back and pulling out Mama, I'm Coming Home and See You on the Other Side this weekend, you kind of forget how great and powerful those songs are. Road to Nowhere has always been one of my favorites, and it creeps into the weekend playlist quite a bit. But then
I remember that song in particular, Robert, Road to Nowhere.
Going back and into the deeper catalog and be like, oh man, I forgot about this one. It's a loss.
Yeah, Road to Nowhere, I remember you and I particularly have some intertwined memories where we were there at the same time on the same Friday night in front of the stereo, blasting songs like, of course, I Don't Know, Crazy Train, No More Tears, Desire, and Road to Nowhere was one I remember you and I would connect on. It'd be playing and we'd be making the brotherly eye contact, and you're getting into the song, I'm getting into the song. We would occasionally, maybe a little bit of booze involved, we would do the back-to-back air guitar.
Yep.
Mimic some of the Zach guitar solos. But, you know, the lyrics to Road to Nowhere, Desire, like, I was looking back on my life and all the things I've come to be. I'm still searching for the answers. I'm still looking for the key. Some of the lyrics are kind of straightforward, kind of basic.
Yeah.
But nobody but Ozzy could just put that Ozzy pixie dust on it and make it so spectacular and so he just has that timeless quality to his vocals.
Yeah, I was watching the video for Road to Nowhere over the weekend and kind of remembering that time when No More Tears album came out and Ozzy is planning to retire. You know, it's called the No More Tours Tour, and watching the video and watching him look at video clips of him through the years and thinking, at the time, the guy was only like 43 or 44 years old.
Right.
And I was thinking at the time, I was 13. Yeah, I was like, yeah, he's had a good run. He's been around a long time.
Yeah.
You know, but yeah, you got, you know, now guys, a lot of the hair metal and the metal, I mean, they're all in their 60s, and a lot of them have either said they're going to retire and come back out or just didn't retire and are still going strong. So I always thought that was kind of a little interesting to think about.
Robert, going back to what you were saying about the performance at Back to the Beginning, not even 3 weeks prior to his passing, and how he seemed to, and I agree, if you watch the video, watch the performances of any of those songs, he's just got that look in his eye, or he's got the presence that just conveys, I'm not long for this world. You know, he seemed very, very moved, and seemed like he wanted to just do the best he possibly could for that performance and save it all up for that last curtain call.
Yeah, and God, what a way to go out. I mean, I can't think of any better way. And I can't think of any other musician that has just gone out on top like that.
Yeah. Honestly, because there are a lot of artists, frontmen in particular, they're seeing that and thinking, that's what I want. I was thinking about that today, that are we going to see some manufactured version of that with some other band and frontman that wants the same legendary send-off? I don't think it can be done again, because also you would have to kind of agree to die shortly after that as well for it to be wrapped up the same way.
I can't imagine. I mean, I don't know that we really have any elder statesmen of metal anymore. Everybody's kind of in a band. You know, Kiss have their retirement tour. Maybe if Metallica decides to do something and actually sticks with retiring, maybe they could have a big show like that where a bunch of bands come out and play a couple Metallica songs and then play some of their own stuff, and then Metallica comes out and plays a set. But I don't think you could do it.
I agree. Now, let's talk about something that we were agreeing on. You've got your Black Sabbath Ozzy fans and your Ozzy solo era Ozzy fans, and then you got people that kind of like a little bit of everything.
Yeah.
Or maybe some people that want to have it all. If we're being honest with ourselves, Robert, you and I are squarely in that Ozzy solo era. Now, we can pick out the Black Sabbath era songs that we do enjoy, but when we were in our early 20s, we were blasting Blizzard of Oz, Diary of a Madman, No Rest for the Wicked, and so on and so on.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I like a lot of Ozzy era Sabbath, although to me, a lot of it is very overplayed. You know, I don't listen to Iron Man and Paranoid anymore, but there's some deep tracks that are pretty good. But I am, you know, I know this might be blasphemy to some people, but I am more of a Dio Sabbath guy. But Ozzy solo stuff, I mean, I'm all over that.
I think it's kind of similar to where you've got people who maybe over the past decade or so or longer who've gotten back into vinyl records and collecting vinyl. Maybe they never did. Maybe they used to, and they're back into that hobby. I appreciate that, but I was a CD guy. I'm not trying to be a vinyl guy. I'm a CD guy. I'm an Ozzy solo guy.
You still are.
Very much so.
Yeah.
I love the compact disc and the liner notes and the jewel case and the way it opens and it clicks shut. And
you still have that in your car. I mean, even riding with you, you know, over the last couple of years when I'm down in your neck of the woods, there's the CDs. Let's put in a CD. You know, just like
something so cool about when you pick out a CD, which you don't really have to do this anymore because you can, most of the time, yes, I'm just listening on Spotify or Apple Music, but, you know, to grab that copy of Corrosion of Conformity, Wise Blood, and it's the one that I bought in 1999 or what, 2000 or something, and it's the same jewel case, so it's kind of scratched on the outside. The liner notes are crinkled where I've read them before, or opened the whole thing up and fold. All of that stuff, that's the whole part of the enjoyment. I probably over-explained it.
Yeah.
But where was I going with this? Yeah, so I agree with you. And honestly, it's not very popular to like Sharon Osbourne, but you have to appreciate what she was able to accomplish in prolonging Ozzy's life by, no joke, probably about 40 years. And that might be a conservative figure.
Yeah, well, I mean, he was living in some rundown apartment, and she goes in there, and there's beer cans and drug paraphernalia and pizza boxes all over the place. I mean, he's going to drink himself to death.
Yeah.
And then convinces him to get it together, put together a band, and we've seen what happened since. And just all the great music that he's given us.
Yeah, so if not for Sharon coming into his life, maybe the last recorded music Ozzy is a part of is something like Technical Ecstasy.
Probably so.
There's no Blizzard of Oz. There's no solo career. There's no Sabbath reunion. And then Black Sabbath, who knows what happens? They may not, they probably just don't. Maybe in some way they are still heralded in this decade, you know, in the 2020s, in some similar fashion, but probably not quite the same.
No, because, I mean, obviously they would have done their stuff with Dio and then, you know, Ian Gillan and Tony Martin and then back together with Dio to do Dehumanizer. But they probably would have, you know, when grunge happened, they would have fizzled out and disappeared, and they'd probably end up playing the state fair.
Yeah.
You know, going forward.
The critical part of all this was protecting Ozzy and preserving Ozzy, and that was accomplished when it very nearly could have all fallen apart.
Yeah.
And also, could you imagine if Ozzy, something happens in the early 80s, you know, he does get his solo career off the ground, but relapses or something, and then he dies back then, and just how he's perceived now versus how it all was finalized. I mean, there's people... Yeah. Well outside of our community, anywhere from respect Ozzy, admire him, maybe don't love the music, but, you know, the Osbourne show, I watched a little bit of it, but I think that helped to humanize him to a degree.
Yes, it did.
Well, when you go back, Robert, and I remember, I was thinking, all the stuff that you think about when something like this goes on for the past week, I remember your bedroom back when we were teenagers, and the posters that you had on the wall, wasn't there a poster of the Ozman Cometh, maybe like a promotional poster? You had some kind of Ozzy poster?
Yes. Yeah, it was that.
I remember that cross. I don't know
what happened to it. Yeah. I don't remember what happened to it. And I think I also had a t-shirt of that as well. I wished I had more Ozzy posters.
And then when I'm 15 years old and you're 16, you've got the first car, the white Oldsmobile.
Yeah.
And I remember very specific CDs that were in rotation. There was The Offspring, there was Typo Negative, there was Slayer, it was actually a pretty decent variety. There was the really hard stuff. There was a little bit of Jackal in the mix.
Yeah.
But
first comes the 12.
But I remember Osmosis probably would have been played back then.
That was in there. No More Tears.
I remember hearing like Perry Mason. We're just really loving the way that album started out with Perry Mason.
It's a weird album. I like the album, but it's odd because Perry Mason was the first single, I believe, that was released. I'm thinking, oh, this is great. This is going to be heavy.
Yeah.
And then you play the album, and it's a lot of ballads on it. And they're good ballads, but really, Perry Mason and My Jekyll Doesn't Hyde, I mean, are the two rockers on that album. Everything else is kind of a ballad or mid-tempo. But it's a good album nonetheless, and it's one that I listened to a good bit.
When you come back to something like Old L.A. Tonight, give me your thoughts on that one.
I love that song. I don't know what it is. I mean, it comes out in 95 on Osmosis. But, I mean, it sounds like it could be an 80s song. And I love the piano riff. I love his vocals. Zach's solo in that song is just incredible. It's one of the best ballads, I think, that he's got in his catalog. And one of my all-time favorite Ozzy songs that I have, over the last year, have revisited. And it's made the weekend playlist quite a bit.
Oh, just an incredible build-up.
Oh, yeah.
Again, the lyrics, you know, just look into the future, look into my eyes and tell me everything's all right. Tell me where we're going. I'm so afraid because I don't know what's going on with my life.
Tell me where we're going. I'm so afraid because I don't know what's going on with my life. But it'll be all right tonight. Will it be all right tonight? Are we doing all right in old LA tonight?
Yeah. Just try to imagine another front man putting a spin on that versus what Ozzy did. And he just, he knows how to build up to that, the chorus, you know, those summer nights, when I look in your eyes, I'm falling to pieces, out of my mind, and I'll never know why I'm falling to pieces. Would love to have been in the studio when he's Ozzy and the engineer and the producer are kicking around different vocal melodies and how that happened.
I don't know. And also why that song was never a single, I don't
get. It's beyond me.
Yeah. I think Harry Mason, See You on the Other Side, I Just Want You were the singles that I remember hearing on 105.9 The Bear. Before they went completely alternative rock and quit playing anything metal. And I remember hearing that. Those songs were on rotation a good bit.
Now, Geezer Butler plays bass on this album.
Yes.
What do you think? Like you said, you've added it to the weekend playlist again. But Robert, when you hear that, or I'm sorry, this is See You on the Other Side, which I've probably listened to 18 times in the past 5 days. But when you hear that dun 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 ta, dun 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 ding ding ding,
yeah, I mean it's great, and that song has a whole new meaning now. Geezer, he played on several Ozzy albums, if I remember. I think he might have played on one in the 80s.
Yeah,
I could be wrong.
And Dean Castronovo on drums in the studio
for Osmosis.
For Osmosis. Okay. He was a member of Bad English, Hardline, and Journey.
Wow. Okay, so he is a Journey.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's an interesting group of musicians, and kind of interesting how somebody like Ozzy will pick somebody like that. But, you know, if you know how to play the songs and you're a musician, and it's Ozzy's band, you know, he's the one that's getting all the attention, so I guess it doesn't really matter where the guitar player, the drummer or whatever come from, as long as they could do the songs.
Do you remember, this is pretty far into the episode, to ask you when you got into Ozzy? Do you remember what year it was? Or was it just like the same day that you picked up a metal edge and you also got into another band or two?
Yeah, it's, gosh, that is a good question.
Because I really don't have memories that go prior to the No More Tears album. I remember you coming back home with the long box CD for No More Tears in that 1991, that magical spring and summer and early fall before Nevermind hit.
Yeah, I know. I guess I kind of gradually came into Ozzy because, you know, he wasn't the first artist that I started listening to. I mean, I was listening to Motley Crue and Poison and Metallica before Ozzy, but I do remember seeing, when I was real young, MTV, I believe they were playing
something off of,
what is the video, what is it, it might be Bark at the Moon. I always thought it was Diary of a Madman, but he's in like some kind of old-time laboratory, And I think it was the first Ozzy song I ever heard. It might have been Bark at the Moon.
Yeah.
And then after that, it was No More Tears. But then I started going back into his back catalog. I was like, oh, my God. Why did I not hear this stuff before? And I think maybe when I was a little kid, I was kind of scared of him just because of the reputation that he had. But, yeah, going back. Yes, I guess, yeah, it was around when No More Tears came out, I started listening to more of his back catalog and really getting into the Ultimate Sin and No Rest for the Wicked. I love the Ultimate Sin. I mean, that is hair metal Ozzy. If you listen to the sound of the album, watch the videos, I mean, he's got the teased up hair, the makeup. Jake E. Lee is a glam guitar player, if there ever was one. But I love that album.
Shot in the Dark. When I first heard Shot in the Dark.
But yeah, I still listen to that song quite a bit. I know it's one of his most well-known songs, but Shot in the Dark is still one of my favorite. I'm not tired of it. Lightning Strikes. Love that song.
I love that chug-a-lug riff of the title track.
Oh, yeah.
Now, what about, and we'll get into, if we have time, a top 10, maybe we'll do a rapid fire without a lot of explanation, top 10. But did you get a chance to see Ozzy live?
Yes. I was fortunate. We saw him at Oak Mountain Amphitheater back on the Osmosis tour. It was Ozzy, Sepultura, and Typo Negative. I actually got to shake Peter Steele's hand before the show. We were kind of by a little chain link fence. By a little chain link fence area, and Peter just kind of walks out and says hello, and I shook his hand, and I mean that was it. But then, yeah, we saw Ozzy. This was back when they had the grass.
Were you wearing the leather jacket with the shin guard boots, or the combat boots?
This would have been 95, maybe 96. So it may have been the combat boots. I don't remember.
Yeah, I loved both of them. I think the other boots came into play maybe in 97. Maybe it was late 96, 97.
I got to see him again at Ozfest. It was in Nashville. I want to say it was around maybe 2002, 2003, because I think Judas Priest was on that bill, and Dilly Borger, Slayer. It may have been 2003. I think Pantera had broken up by then.
Yeah.
I've never seen Pantera live.
I saw Pantera on the Ozfest tour. I believe it was 2000 in Nashville, and then saw them in 2001, in July of 2001.
Yeah.
And that was it.
I guess that's the regret, is I never got to see them. I know they're coming to Birmingham, but I'm not paying, I don't know, $100+ a ticket to go. And it's not really Pantera. But.
Yeah, this is a different topic, but I have to chime in on this. Going to see Metallica, going to see Pantera, this version of Pantera, or some of the big bands like that in 2025, and you've seen them before, you saw them 20 years ago and you had a blast and you saw them in their prime and you spent, yes, you know, $32 or maybe $50 if it was part of a festival, which it was like Ozfest 02 was something like $55 or something like that.
I saw that in that text you sent. Yeah. Like, wow, I mean, today it'd be, you know, $200.
And that's the whole day. Gates, doors or gates at 9:30. But Robert, it is, and you know what it's like when you go to a concert now, especially at a large venue, and you're seated around a lot of similarly aged people who we don't run around and get sweaty and drunk. We're just kind of seated with our wives and our phones. And we're just, it's not really like the same atmosphere. But not to say it's not worth it to people that can budget for this, but I don't know. I'm still drawn to Vinyl Music Hall, going to see a band where I can stand up on the floor of a kind of a small venue.
Right.
And just take that in, get in, see the show, get out, go home. I just feel like it's a lot of money for something that's not what it once was.
Right. And I mean, I don't really have any desire to go see, you know, an arena show anymore, because I'm going to sit there in my seat and just watch it.
You know, something like Back to the Beginning. If I could have made that happen, could have gotten out there and gotten a ticket, I'm sure I would have had a blast.
Possibly. I want to say that I would have liked to have gone to that, but I'm just afraid that I would have gotten there when the gates open at 11:30, and by 3 o'clock, I'm probably thinking, all right, my feet are tired, my legs are tired, I want to sit down, I want something to eat, I don't want a $30 hamburger, and I'm probably like thinking, I want to go home.
Well, part of this, going to shows at 40-something years old, you know, let's not kid ourselves. People that do this, we're trying to reclaim 2 hours of our youth. We're trying to remember what it was, how much fun this was in 2000, or like you said, the late 90s, 2001, 02, 03, all that stuff. And you went to those concerts in a completely different mindset. You weren't thinking about the thing that you have going on at work that's waiting for you on Monday, or some leak at your house that you're waiting for the contractor to call you back, but you're going to go try to enjoy this concert, or you've got a child that's got a situation going on, and you're halfway checking out of it, but you're an adult. We're just at an age where it's not fuck the world. It's going to be 2 hours of heavy metal, and to an extent, maybe some people can really compartmentalize. And I kind of do it at the little club shows that I like to go to. But, I mean, you're kidding yourself. If you're going to spend $200 with the parking and the booze and the food and the babysitters and... Oh, I really hate to get off on a negative end. That's my whole take. I don't spend the money.
Yeah.
I've seen what I wanted to see back when I wanted to see it.
Yeah. And you probably have a good idea of what the set list is going to be. We went and saw Slayer... several years ago in Atlanta. It was Slayer. It was a great lineup. It was Slayer, Testament, Anthrax, Napalm Death, and I think it was Lamb of God. But I mean, one beer was like $13. I drank one beer the whole show. I was like, I could get a half a case of this for $13.
Now, look, I will say this. I don't want to discourage people who are listening to this and they've been having a great time rocking out and going to shows for years and years. But it's just my experience. I had the best fun that I think I'm going to have at concerts, you know, big venue concerts, when I was in my 20s. And with the technology, it was just completely cut off. You're not thinking about, I need to check my email in another 4 minutes. I need to see what's happening on Instagram. I need that dopamine fix. And let me just, so you're not really all in. You're just not.
No, but I think you're also, I don't think you're discouraging anybody. I think we might be telling people that it's okay to not want to go to the show.
Yeah.
Don't feel like you have, like you said, if Priest is coming and you don't want to go, don't fucking go.
Right.
If Iron Maiden came, I might consider it, because I've never seen them. But I'd probably, at the last minute, be like, yeah, no, I'm not going.